Slice and Dice by Alan Hart. Prologue, late October 1963. It wasn't fair. Pepper had waited for years to have a child, and now that she had a beautiful little 4-year-old boy, she was too sick even to play with him. She sat on a wooden lounge chair at the edge of the water, watching her son Paul dig in the sand next to the dock. He was such a sweet child. Wispy blonde curls and a sunny smile. He had her husband's aqua blue eyes and his intense scowl, but in every other way he was a miniature reflection of her. He even had her love of the outdoors. It didn't matter that the air was chilly and a dreary fog hugged the shoreline. Every afternoon after his nap, come rain or shine, little Paul had to have his time down by the dock. When her husband Wayne had first started the construction on their Lake Minnetonka house 6 years earlier, the 48 steps leading from the back porch down to the lake had seemed like nothing. Now it was a daily struggle. If her health didn't improve, it wouldn't be long before she couldn't make it at all. Pepper had spent the last 5 months visiting one doctor after another, trying to find answers. She'd seen at least a dozen specialists, taken more than 3 dozen tests, and been prescribed a mountain of pills. And yet, except for the dizziness, the tiredness, the stomach pains, the eye problems, and her growing anxiety, nobody could agree on what was wrong with her. Her husband had tried to remain supportive, but she could feel him losing patience. "Mrs. Buckridge," came a soothing voice. "Yes," she said, removing her eyes from her son and fixing them on the young, attractive, blonde-haired woman who was leaning over her chair. "Oh, Connie, it's you." Connie Jadek had been a maid at the Buckridge home for almost 2 years. Last spring, she'd taken over as the cook. Although she seemed competent enough, Pepper didn't like her. Her constant cheerfulness was enough to drive anyone to drink. "I brought you another blanket," said Connie. "I thought you might be cold." She spread it over Pepper's legs. "What about my rum and coke? It's on the table next to you." Pepper glanced to the side. "Are you sure you wouldn't like something to eat?" "No, nothing." Even the idea of food made her sick to her stomach. "Can I get you anything else?" Before she could respond, she heard Paul calling, "Nanny, Nanny!" He tossed his tin shovel in the sand and ran to show Connie what he'd found. She bent down to look at the small feather in his hand. "Oh, that's beautiful, Paul. We'll have to put it with all the others." Pepper was instantly furious. Why hadn't Paul shown her the feather first? He'd spent so much time with Connie lately that she'd almost replaced Pepper as a mother figure. She fed him all his meals, played with him on and off during the day, read him stories, and then tucked him into bed at night. It was insidious, but because she was too weak to do anything else, Pepper had to sit by and watch it happen. She'd mentioned the situation to Wayne just last night, said it was becoming intolerable. But he wouldn't hear of any more staff being let go. They'd already gone through 3 nannies. Nobody did anything well enough for Pepper's high standards. What the hell did she want, anyway? She'd screamed and she wanted her life back. She wanted to be healthy, to take care of Paul herself, the way she had when he was a baby. She ached for the feel of him, for the smell of his hair. She was his mother, for God's sake, not these strangers. Couldn't Wayne understand how hard it was for her to watch her son transferring his affections to others? "What's the solution?" Wayne demanded. "You're too sick to take care of him yourself. What am I supposed to do, let him fend for himself while I'm away at work? Do you want him crawling around the house eating bug killer and stuffing marbles in his ears?" She knew there was no good answer. Connie would stay, of course, as would the rest of the staff. Until Pepper felt better, she'd simply have to live with the consequences of her illness. But she'd be damned if she'd let anyone take her son away from her. "Paul," she said softly, reaching out her hand, "come sit with Mommy." The little boy handed the feather to Pepper. "Aren't you cold?" asked Pepper. "Come and get under the covers with me, and we'll watch the waves together. I'll tell you a story about when I was a little girl." Hesitantly, the boy got up and stood next to the chair. "That's all, Connie," said Pepper, dismissively, taking several swallows of her rum and coke, her third of the afternoon. Come back in half an hour. We'll be ready to go in by then. Connie nodded, looking hesitant herself. Finally, giving a tiny wave to Paul, she turned and walked back up the steps to the house. Once Paul was bundled up next to her, Pepper stroked his hair and said, "You know, Mommy loves you more than anything else in the whole wide world." He made a movement that was part nod, part yawn. Pepper had lived her whole life on Lake Minnetonka. As a child, she discovered a secret. The lake had a heartbeat. Sometimes it was wild and roaring, sometimes it was buried under layers of ice and snow. But it was always there, full of spirit, strong and insistent. Now the sound of it gave her courage. "Mommy's been sick for a long time," she said, kissing the top of her son's head. "But she's going to get better. Can we play in the park tomorrow?" "No, not tomorrow." She sighed, realizing she'd disappointed him once again. "But soon, very soon, I promise." He buried his face in her sweater. "Okay." His tiny arms hugged her tight. "I love you, Mommy." Her heart nearly broke. "Don't ever forget this moment," she whispered, her arms wrapped around him. "And please, Paul, whatever happens, don't ever forget me."